Welcome to the Connections Podcast, a podcast devoted to how Unitarian Universalists of San Mateo connect to our beloved community. I'm your host, Jack Brennan, Connections at UUSM. Our guest today is Margie Robinson. Margie was born in Missouri, but grew up in West Lafayette, Indiana. Thanks to a family vacation in French-speaking Canada, Margie fell in love with the French language. Following 2 years of high school French, 4 years of French at Purdue, and 1 year in France on a Fulbright scholarship, wow, Margie, that is impressive. She came to the University of California in Berkeley, where she received her MA. She met her first husband in a folk dancing class at Cal Berkeley. They married in 1968 during all the turmoil of the free speech movement. Margie taught French in junior high school until they moved to San Mateo, where she taught French at Hillsdale High School for many years. Margie and her husband adopted two Korean children. Kimmy was 18 months when she arrived. 1 year later, Katie arrived at 3 months of age. In 1990, Margie and her husband divorced, and that's when she started her yearly trips to France, which she thoroughly enjoyed and still enjoys. This summer's trip was to Lille in the northeast of France, near the Belgian border. Margie met John Sarconi at UUSM in 2020, and they married in 2021. Sadly, John died 1 month shy of their first anniversary, but Margie and John considered themselves very lucky to have been together, even though it was for such a brief time. Margie, welcome to the Connections Podcast. I've been looking forward to sitting down with you to catch up and to learn more about you. Can you tell our listeners a little more about your childhood family? You've just glossed over that whole beginning of your life there. Can you tell us more about your family?
Yeah, I grew up in West Lafayette, which was a university town. Purdue University is there. My family was very happy. I had an older sister. We got along very well. I had a very nice childhood. It wasn't until I went to France and then I came to Berkeley that I realized how isolating the Midwest can be. There were a few Asian families, but there were no Blacks, no Chicanos, and there were a lot of housing laws that prevented you to sell your house to a Black or to a Chicano and so forth. I was totally oblivious to all that. So coming to Berkeley, it was a shock and a revelation, and it changed my perspective quite a bit.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What kind of a child were you? Were you like mischievous or studious? What kinds of things did you love to do when you were a kid?
Oh, I towed the line.
Did you?
I didn't revolt. No, I didn't. As kids during the summer, we would ride our bikes and go wading in this fountain dedicated to John Purdue, the founder of Purdue University. Mm. We'd go wading there, and then we took Wonder Bread wrappers and we climbed up the outdoor fire escapes, the tubes, and then we would come down on the Wonder Bread paper. But one time we...
That seems dangerous.
Well, they're completely enclosed, you know.
Right.
But one time we opened the door at the top of the escape, and there was a class going on. And everybody looked at us like... So we left right away.
I bet you did.
Yeah, but...
Were you worried about getting caught?
Sort of, yeah. But, you know, we just got on our bikes and left. Yeah.
That's funny. What year was it when you took that family vacation? Well, first of all, did your family take vacations a lot?
Yes. My father worked for the railroad, and we took vacations always on the train because he had passes for us. When, you know, he had a pass for himself always, but we could take one family vacation. And my sister and I evaluated the vacation, whether it was one night on the train or two nights on the train. Two nights was best.
Was it?
Yeah.
You loved
sleeping. Oh, we loved the sleeping cars, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. We went on that trip to Canada just after my freshman year in high school.
Where did you stay? What did you do on that trip?
We went to Montreal and then to Quebec. We stayed in the Hotel Frontenac, which was a really nice hotel, and everybody was speaking French, and I just found it enchanting that people could speak another language and they would know. So in high school, I started with Latin, and then for my junior and senior year, I switched to French and continued.
Wow. It changed the course of your life,
yeah,
right?
It did.
That one little vacation.
Yes, it definitely did, yeah.
And then you taught French in school for many years.
Yes.
Did you love doing that?
Yeah, I did. I liked it a lot. Especially I liked it when we adopted our children, because I had the same schedule as they did, and that was really helpful. Okay. I got a lot of pleasure out of teaching. I liked it a lot.
What did you like best about teaching?
Oh, the kids.
Right.
You know. Yeah.
Were they mostly really into it?
I got my job because I also minored in Spanish. So I could teach beginning Spanish. I could not teach beyond that. The Spanish students were very energetic, very amusing. And the French kids were very serious. It was like a real difference in perspective.
Yeah.
And I liked doing both because the Spanish, the kids studying Spanish had a love of being, and the French kids were really occupied with grades and where they were going to go to school.
That was really different.
Yeah, it was very different.
For Spanish, was it mostly native speakers?
No, but a lot of times it was Spanish kids who had taken Spanish in junior high and hadn't done well. And they got to first year Spanish in high school, they were repeating.
Mm.
And they weren't happy about that. I didn't teach the advanced Spanish classes.
Right.
I'm sure they were very different than the classes I taught.
What other choices did the kids have other than Spanish or French?
German had gone the first year I taught at Hillsdale, so there was no German, and there was no Latin. And then, as I was leaving, Chinese had come in.
Hmm.
And now they don't teach French in the high schools in San Mateo anymore. But there's one teacher, I think she's still teaching, I'm not sure, who teaches Italian, but it's only at one school. Right. And I think there is Chinese and I think there's Japanese at one school, but French is not part of the curriculum.
Wow.
And I find that really sad.
Yeah, I'm surprised about that. I remember people loving to take French. I didn't take French in high school, but I remember that was a really popular course of
study. What did you take?
I took Spanish. Yeah. How many years total did you teach French in schools?
Probably 23, 24.
Wow.
Because I was a TA at Berkeley when I was getting my MA. So I taught then. And then I taught in Berkeley for 8 years, I think. And then I taught altogether 23, 24 years.
Wow.
Yeah, long time.
You said the best part was the kids. What was the most challenging part of teaching? What did you not love?
It was challenging when I divorced because my children were young and I wouldn't start preparing lessons until 9 at night because they were little and they had to go to bed and I had to get them all settled and eat and fix dinner. And so that was hard.
When you first started teaching, did you have kids already?
No, no. We didn't have kids for quite a while.
Since you started your yearly trips to France in 1990, how many years have you not gone on a trip there?
I think three. 1 year I just didn't go because the girls were little. Then I didn't go the year of the pandemic.
Right.
There wasn't one. And then I didn't go the year that John was in very poor health. I didn't go that year. Yeah, it's fun because it's the same group of women. But half are still teaching the younger people and half are like me. They're retired.
Mm-hmm.
And we've known each other for a long time. So it's really fun.
That's so great.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that. Do you stay in different parts of France every time you go, or do you have favorite spots that you go back to? And how, as a group, how do you decide where you're going?
It's the leader who decides where we're going.
Okay.
You know, she is fluent in French and everything. And she decides on a town, and it's always a different town. But we repeated some because we're running out of town.
Right. It's been a lot of years.
It's really fun because I think I probably know France better than I know the United States because
I've been
at least 8 different cities. She arranges the hotels. All you arrange is your transportation there.
Yeah.
And so it's wonderful because she arranges. And there are some meals that she has that is included in the price, and we go to certain restaurants, right. But other meals you're on your own.
Right. And
we always have little field trips from the city where we are.
Right.
This time we had one day in Brussels and then one day to the coast. It's always fun. Yeah.
Has it always been since 1990 with the same group of...
A lot of them, yeah, I know.
It's those just, relationships.
Oh, they're wonderful, yeah.
And do you really only see each other once a year?
Yeah,
or do you
yeah.
keep in touch?
Everybody speaks French. You don't speak English at all.
I was going to ask that next, yeah. Okay.
Also, the teachers who are still teaching are supposed to present one of their lessons to us. But as a retired teacher, you don't have to go if you don't want to because you don't have anything to present. But I went to watch the teachers who are still teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And speak about making you feel old. I mean, I didn't even understand what they're... You know, it's all technology. Everything's tech. Their kids were making videos. The kids were... I didn't even know half the stuff they were doing. It was very humbling. And I thought, time goes on.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Tell our listeners about your daughters.
Oh, my oldest daughter, Kimmy, who was 19 months old when we got her, she is a dancer, and she is a very talented ballerina and danced professionally in Montana. She teaches ballet now. She lives in Redwood City, and she teaches. And
so she's close by now.
Yes, yes. She lived in Montana for a long time, so she came and she lives here, and that's wonderful.
How old is she now?
She is 42.
Oh.
Yeah. Katie, who was 3.5 months when we got her, lives near Sacramento, and she's a insurance adjuster.
Yeah.
But she has horses. And she is an avid rider, and she and her friends in the riding circle bring horses from the Netherlands to the United States. And she arranges for their transportation, and they end up in L.A., and they have to pay a trainer to go with them on the airplane in case the horse gets frisky, and they can calm it down or whatever. And then they transport the horse to the barn in Sacramento, and then she keeps them for a while and feeds them, and because people like these horses, and she makes a lot of money.
Wow.
And neither her father nor I have any interest in horses. And it's so amazing.
Yeah.
And she goes on trips. Like she went on a horseback riding trip in Iceland, Romania. Oh. It's so amazing to see what your children end up doing.
I know. It is. It really is.
It's fun.
Yeah. When you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Well, as soon as I got French,
Was that what you thought immediately? Was I want to teach French?
No, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I thought I could be a translator, which is not you. That's not something that easily, for someone who's not bilingual at birth, that's very hard to do.
Yes, it is.
So,
yeah. Huh, interesting. I'm stuck on this visual of horses on an airplane.
I know. They're special airplanes.
They would have to be, right?
Yeah. But the fact that the trainer has to go with them in the hold where they are. Yeah, and then they're brought up in a big truck, you know.
Wow.
I know. The first time she told me she was going to do that. And the fact that she makes money off of it.
Right.
My God.
This is a job?
Well, because it's very expensive to do that.
I can't even imagine.
I know. It's astonishing.
And so she lives in L.A.?
No, she lives outside Sacramento.
Oh, okay.
You know, and so where she rides and where the barn is, where she used to have her own horse, but she doesn't now. But she rides 2 or 3 times a week.
Okay.
Most of her friends are from the barn, and they all love horses.
Tell me when you started coming to UUSM.
Oh, I started coming after I got divorced, and I came to this church, and my children did not want to come to Sunday school, so it didn't work out.
Did they not like it, or they just didn't?
They were not in favor of coming. Okay. So, and I only had them every other weekend, too. I mean, right. So they couldn't really get into it the same way. Yeah. And at that time, the music department was not exceptional. And so then I went to visit the church in Palo Alto, and they had a fantastic music program. So I started going there on the times when I didn't have my kids. And their music program was so fantastic. They hired professional musicians, and it was wonderful. But then the commute down there, I thought, this is ridiculous. And I came back to this church, and Sean Reischneider was here. And I thought, oh, the music is good. I switched to this church because it was much easier to come here. I liked it. And the music program has always been excellent.
Was there a particular moment or maybe a series of things where you just came to the realization you belonged here?
I really liked meeting certain people. You know, like some people asked me to join their family when they had those families that were active. And Ann Peter was there. My very best friend who passed away, that was before your time, was there. She was a lovely person.
Yeah. Okay.
I just felt comfortable, you know. Yeah. And there was no big theology part of it.
What was your religious bio that got you there when you were young? Where did you...
Well, when I was young, my parents weren't particularly religious. But I started going to a Methodist church because they had an active youth group. This was when I was in maybe seventh grade. My parents went briefly to a federated church, which was, I can't remember, it was joined two different denominations joined together. And I don't remember what the joint thing was. Okay. But I continued going to the Methodist church, but it was not a big deal. The religion part was not a big deal. Then when I went to college to Purdue, I didn't go.
You and your first husband didn't?
No, well, we went to a Methodist church for a while because we were going to adopt and we needed a religious reference.
Right.
So we went to a Methodist church.
What made you want to go to a church at all?
I just wanted some sort of community. Mm-hmm. I thought this would be a good community, yeah. And it was. It has been.
Yes. Yeah. Still yeah. is a really yeah. good community. And you met John Sarcone here at UUSM?
Yeah, I met him here. And then I saw him come in with his daughter. And she brought him here because he was widowed and not doing too terribly well by himself. Mm-hmm. And then I saw him in an opera class that I was taking, an opera appreciation course with the rec department, and he was there too.
Oh.
So I went and sat next to him, and I said, oh, I saw you at church. And he said, yeah, and then he came to church, and that was it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was very nice. Yeah.
One of the first times I heard you talk at all, you talked about John. It was just so lovely because
yeah.
you, and you have
yeah.
it right now.
Yeah.
You have a sparkle in your
yeah.
eyes.
Oh, he was a great listener.
Yeah.
And he just made you feel like you were just super.
Yeah.
And that's always nice. Yeah.
That's the best.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to feel essential to somebody
right.
else.
Right, and to feel known.
Right. Yeah. I wish I could have met him. You married him in 2021. You married mm-hmm. John. And did you have a ceremony?
Oh, yeah. It was during COVID. And so City Hall was closed.
Ah.
And
wow.
we couldn't really do it. So we did it at my house on Zoom with somebody. Yeah. And John, one of John's daughters was there as a witness. And Lillian Barden was there with me. We had a ceremony on Zoom. Which was really odd, but it worked out. And it was nice because then we wanted to get married because he was awaiting a serious operation and we wanted to be able to see each other if we
right.
were married. Of course, when COVID came, it didn't matter. We couldn't yeah. see each other anyway. But it did allow me, because we were married, it did allow me to see him where he lived at the Stratford, where he lived after the operation for a while.
Right.
Then I could go in, even though COVID was going.
Right.
He had congestive heart failure, among other things.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's usually one of
Other things that happen.
Right. Yeah. Anything else you want to share about John?
He had 6 kids, you know, and he and his wife got married when they were 18, and they started having kids right away.
Right.
And he worked as a Fuller Rush man, did all kinds of things, and put himself through medical school. And having 6 kids at the same time. I never knew him professionally because he had retired from medicine, but I have a lot of friends, and he was their doctor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to wrap this up with some quick hitters. I'll ask you a quick question. You'll give me an answer.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's the best nighttime snack?
Chocolate. In any form.
Chocolate in any form.
Right.
Oh, a woman after my own heart. What's your favorite form of chocolate, though? You have a favorite?
Yeah, I haven't found it recently. There was an ice cream, Ben and Jerry's, and it was called Chocolate Therapy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I loved it, and I haven't seen it recently.
I love that. I don't think I've ever seen that.
Oh, either. It was really good.
Oh, that sounds great. Are you more dark chocolate or milk chocolate?
Dark chocolate.
Me too. The darker the better. Yeah. What's the best advice you ever got?
I think that my parents wanted me to be able to provide for myself. And they said, it's important you have a profession. We don't want you to graduate from college not being able to do something. Mm-hmm. And I think that was wise, because a lot of women go to college and then they don't work. So I was prepared. When I got divorced, I had a good job, and it was not as terrifying as it could be.
Do you remember when people would say, oh, yeah, she's going to college to get her MRS?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had a counselor at Cal Berkeley say, you know, I'm sure you're here to get your MRS. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
What kinds of things keep you up at night?
Oh, many things, like my house, the work it needs. If I should leave the house now, because it's a big house and it's a lot of responsibility. And also I have this habit of, if I have a problem and it works out, I proceed to the next problem.
You know, right.
Like, I just like, oh.
Okay.
I don't have a big breathing spell between problems.
Yeah. How long have you been in that house?
Since 1970. Long time.
Wow.
It's all paid for.
What do you love to bake more than anything else?
Oh, I like to make chocolate chip cookies.
I was going to say,
yeah.
I know what I like you to bake.
Yeah, yeah.
She
I do
does
like
make
them.
The best chocolate.
Yeah, I like
chip
to make chocolate. If I'm going to make cookies, that's the only kind I want to make.
I'm happy to hear that.
Yes, yes.
Feel free to make those anytime.
Right.
I'm going to be around. What's the most used app on your phone?
Oh, God, I don't know. Probably Wordle.
Wordle. You're a Wordle person.
Yes, I do. I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you do it every day?
Yeah, I do. I do it every day.
It's the first thing I do.
I know, me too. I do it.
Pick up my phone.
Yeah. And people when my French group, they were doing it in France, and I have to get that app because I'd like to do it in French too.
Oh.
Like, which would be a real challenge.
You definitely need to do that.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah. That would be so fun. How many did it take you today?
I think it was 4.
Yeah, I got it in 3 today, but I was really surprised.
Isn't that interesting? Well, I love it when 3 of the letters are in the right place in the right letter. It's like, oh.
That's the best.
Yes, it is. Yes, yes.
Yeah. Have you ever gotten it in 1?
No, but I've gotten it in 2.
Yeah.
And that was because my first guess gave me a lot of letters.
Yeah, getting it in 2 involves like no skill.
No, it's luck.
It's luck. Do you ever do the Wordle bot?
No, I should do that too.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It is interesting. I like that. What quality is a must-have quality in a friend for you?
I think to be a good listener.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yes. So important.
Yeah.
What are you reading right now?
Oh, I read a lot of books in French, but I'm also reading the series of books called Miss Reed. They're from the 30s. They all take place in a little English village, and she's a school teacher in this little tiny town in Thrush Green, and she talks about her students and everything. It calms me down, and it's like when I'm really stressed, I get one of those books, because there's a whole series, and I read them.
Is her name Miss Reed?
Yeah, that's Miss Reed. It's a simpler time, and it's a very rural village, and the cows are out, and the flowers are out. And I don't know.
Pastoral.
Yeah, and it's very calming for me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Who was the first person you voted for in a U.S. presidential election?
JFK.
Was it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was excited to do that.
Yes. Are you excited to vote for Robert Kennedy Jr.?
No, I'm not. No, I don't think I would vote for him. No.
No. No. Apparently the whole Kennedy family
is not happy with him either. Yeah.
What's your go-to order if you're ordering Indian food?
Well, I don't like spicy food, but I like naan. I like the bread.
Yeah,
and that's about it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. What's the best movie of all time?
Oh, same time next year.
Oh, yeah.
And John and I watch it every New Year's. Oh. And I have the book because we stayed in Mendocino at the place where that movie takes place.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we stayed there twice. It's not as nice as it was when the movie was made, but still, I have the movie and I still watch it on New Year's Eve.
That's a lovely tradition.
Yeah.
What's your favorite local charity?
Oh, probably Planned Parenthood.
Planned Parenthood?
I think so, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And what's the best religion?
Well, I think UUSM is the best, yes, yeah.
Agreed. Thanks, Margie.
Oh, it was fun.
So much. I really appreciate the gift of your time and sharing your life with our listeners. And it was just fun to get to sit and talk.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun.
I enjoyed every minute. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I think this was a very good idea that you had for the congregation to get to know people.
Oh, thanks. I really appreciate that. Many thanks, as always, to our listeners. Keep making connections. Yay, you did it.
I know. That's good. It was fun.